This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Van der Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions! Milinkovic-Savic! Where they belter! Oh, what a phenomenal strike!
It'll push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.
Welcome to the Serbian Football Show. Oh man, here we go again. This is your host Miloš, and we have a lot of things to talk about today. I'm sure everybody knows already what's going on, so let's not waste any time. Today, as always, I'm joined by a couple special guests. First, we have Bojan from Toronto. Bojan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and how are you doing?
Pretty good. And then we always, as usual, we always have Luca from Washington, D.C. Luca, how are you feeling today?
Hey, man. I was just in Las Vegas celebrating my buddy's birthday, and of course, the national team game against Ukraine was right in the middle of that birthday, so I had to watch it, and it completely ruined my weekend, dude, so I'm not doing too well.
Yeah, next time, just don't watch the game, man.
Yeah, I know.
Why ruin your weekend?
You think I'd learned my lesson by now, dude.
I know, I never learn either. I always watch the games, and I always get punished. And finally, we're joined by Alexa from the beautiful city of Belgrade. How are you doing, Alexa?
Doing good. Hopefully, I can restore the whatever's left of the pride of this country and the city after the battering that it suffered on Friday, the day that will live in infamy. And good God, let's just get into it, man.
All right, yes, as you guys have all mentioned already, we all saw that debacle on Friday. It's going to be infamous with many other games, that 5-0 loss to Ukraine in Lviv. It was the worst loss that we had since, I'm sure we all remember the last big loss we had like that, which was 6-0 at the World Cup in 2006 versus Argentina, where they put together, was it 26 passes in a row to score that one goal? Made us a viral sensation before viral sensations were a thing. So what can you say about that game against Ukraine on Friday? Just one of the worst performances that we have ever seen. One of the top five, top 10 worst performances that I've seen in my time watching the national team. Stajic decided to test out a new formation against Ukraine away, a tough match. Went with three in the back. Muksimic alone by himself in a midfield, basically, and then the rest of the guys in attack, 3-5-2. Didn't go well at all. No, there was acres of open space. We got exposed time and time again, and we were lucky that it was only 5-0. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been easily 7-8-0 in that game. And basically, our qualifying campaign is in a big hole right now because of that game. Let's go first with you, Alexa. What were your thoughts in the game, and how are you feeling afterwards?
Oh, yeah, I feel great. I mean, we just got destroyed, and it was the worst performance in the history of Serbian football. I feel wonderful. Good God. I maintain the statement that this is the worst performance in the history of certainly the national team, because, like, we've had the 6-0 in Argentina, the 6-1 against the Netherlands. We had the Czech Republic beat us 5-0 in a friendly and 4-1, but you have Argentina with Crespo, Tevez, Messi, Riquelme, Cambiaso. You have the Netherlands with Stam and Seedorf and Kluivert and Van der Sar and all these guys. And even the Czech Republic, when they beat us up, they had, Petr Cech and Tomáš Rosický and Jan Koller and Pavel Nedved and whatnot. Ukraine is not that good of a team. Now, before we get into any sort of analysis, I have to say fair play to Shevchenko, the way he set the team up. I mean, Ukraine is a good team. I was in the show last week, but I said that their individual talent is very underestimated. Pjatov has had tremendous experience. Stepanenko's kind of like their Yubimir face, only he doesn't get injured. Malinovsky and Yaremchuk have been doing wonderful for Ghent. I mean, we all know Konopnyanka when he's on form. Nobody can stop him. Tigankov has been in demand by many clubs. And they didn't even have Modulos. They didn't have Andriy Ermolenko. They didn't have Junior Moraes. So they're a good team. We have a horrible record against Ukraine. But last night, I don't know how much time we're going to have. I don't want to take anything away from you guys, but I could talk for 3-4 hours. The point is that last night was not about last night. This has been an alibi-driven disaster for the last year and a half, and this isn't the bullet that came from the dark corner of a room. It's not something that just happened. Yes, Ukraine played amazingly, and it was helped by our incompetence, but this is something that I have warned for a year and a half pretty much was going to happen, and the wheels fell off. And it's almost impossible to conceive how we can play any worse than what we did. The people are going to try and criticize the formation and analyze the situation. This is why you don't wait until June to play your best formation. This is why you don't keep your most informed striker on the bench and then shove him into the fire. This is why you don't get into feuds with players that were desperately necessary and so on. I mean, there's a million questions, but this isn't something that happened last night. This has been building and building, and the issues are much deeper. And we might need another show just to analyze all of it, because now the inquest begins. How do we fix this? It seems impossible.
You're right. And I think one thing that Friday made clear to me is that, you know, that lineup and that formation, that wasn't Kostajic's decision. I think if he actually decided himself that he wanted to play 3-5-2 and he wanted to play with those players, then he wouldn't have played and went back to 4-4-2 today. If he spent months preparing the 3-5-2, if he spent months getting that system ready, thinking about it, thinking about what he was going to do, why would he switch again 2 days later? You know, it's clear to me that he was told, you know, play this way. Everybody wants you to play this way. All the fans want you to play this way. Our best players want you to play this way, so just do it. And he agreed with it, and I think that's what happened. That's clearly what happened to me, because if he actually put his time into this formation, into planning this game, today we would have seen the same thing. He would have stuck to his guns. He would have, you know, went out guns blazing, stuck to his principles and played the same formation today as he did on Friday. And that didn't happen. He completely changed everything today. So to me, that just confirms that he's not the one who's
It's an alibi. That's all I'm going to say. We can analyze why, but it's an alibi. It was the same thing in Switzerland when he went all out attack. It's the same thing with forcing Begovic to play center back because we need the, you know, youth in the team and whatnot. People are going to say, well, you all asked for 3-5-2. You wanted this. No, we didn't want Alexander Kolarov as a center back. Even when I said it a couple shows ago, I didn't mean it with Adam Ljajic and Maksimovic being the defensive midfielders. I didn't want Gacinovic on the right wing back when Lazovic can cover it. And forget Kostic and Gacinovic positions. Forget positions. Forget all that. When you don't have a clear idea what you're supposed to do, just because you have two strikers doesn't mean you play attacking football. You can have one striker. We had one striker under Muslin, and we averaged 2 goals a game. It's about what their tasks are. You know, Kostic and Gacinovic had no defensive roles. Ljajic was just completely out of depth, and I don't blame him because he's never played there. They focused in on Tadic, and Jovic and Perjovic did as much as they could with the limited service. Spajic has this ridiculous habit of just backing into his own six-yard box, and you saw the first goal with the pass came into the middle of the box, and Tigankov just slotted it away. Why did Benfica didn't get a chance? He was completely fit. So, I mean, there's a million questions I don't want to take away from the other guys, but it's an alibi tactic. It was like, well, hey, I tried it, and, you know, this is what you get when you think that you know more. Well, we do know more. This is why you shouldn't have waited 9 months to go with this formation. Had we played with this from the Nations League, then we wouldn't have been in this mess. So.
Exactly. Now it's been 17 matches and still not the same lineup twice in a row ever. Which is, you know, it's got to be up there with one of the world records. I mean, I can't imagine too many coaches going 17 matches in a row without the same form, without the same lineup. That's staggering to me. And I really feel bad for Adam Ljajic because, you know, you just when he was subbed off, you saw on his face the guy was devastated, and he was just like he looked like he didn't know where he was. And it's not his fault. Guy put him to play center mid against Ukraine away.
It was defensive midfield. It was defensive midfield. It wasn't even center mid. It wasn't even center mid. He was defensive midfield. He was closer to Spajic than he was to Tadic. It's madness.
He doesn't even play that position ever. And like he played that position against Portugal for whatever reason, or Germany for whatever reason. And you know he was dying then. He was dying because he wasn't put in a good spot. You saw it today. He came in, came on, played his position, played centrally behind the strikers, and he scored a goal. You know that's his job. That's what he does. He's not a defensive midfielder, central midfielder. You got to put the players in the right positions to succeed. Gwen, what were your thoughts about Friday's game and maybe even today's game?
Well, I would have to say that, you know, if I was Mousseline, I'd be laughing at seeing a performance like this.
Oh, he and is. Seeing, he's laughing. Yeah. He's laughing.
And to see that we're going back into a formation that was something that Mousseline actually, he was with the whole three center backs and with the wing play. However, the difference was he still performed defensively fine because we had Kolarov on the left and we had Rukavina on the right with three stable center backs. We're trying to play players like Kostic, who are fantastic, and players like Kachinovic, fantastic, who are fantastic going forward, but they don't come back to defend, nor do they know how much to defend, because, you know, Eintracht, it's very attacking football. And then we're leaving the three center backs exposed. At the same time, you know, we have Kolarov playing a unnatural position. He's only spent time as center back for a season in Man City. Not great in the back, very well going forward. And then at the same time, we have Ljajic out of position as well, playing alongside with Maksimovic. And this is where, like you guys talked about, we have a fit face-up, and he's not on. And the reason why Mussolini's formation worked versus, you know, similar to Krstajic's one that he wants to try now, is that we had Matic and Milivojevic, who are more than capable to support those center backs, that are more than capable to make some nice short passing and to be able to dribble the ball and carry the ball up. Where, you know, you watched against the game against Ukraine, lots of wing play, and we're looking for crosses that are coming from 30, 40 yards out, nothing going through the middle. We feel sometimes that when we have the strikers that we do, which, you know, finally now, I mean, we haven't produced two solid strikers since, I'm assuming, Pantelic and Žigić, that now we need to play two strikers. That's not our style. It's never really been our style to play up with two strikers. We play with a supporting striker like we did with Pantelic and Žigić, where Pantelic was right behind Žigić to nod him down the ball. And that is something we can do with Mitrovic and Jovic, but not side by side like the way they were. At the same time, there's a reason why Mitrovic starts over Jovic, which is he can go towards the back. He's very good at defending set pieces as well. I think the influence from the FSS, you know, to be able to push, we need to play with two strikers. We need to play these men who are in form, who are playing on, you know, big clubs. They're in form. We need to have them in the lineups, caused this formation to fail. Obviously, Krstajic is to blame with who is being set up in these positions. For the wingbacks, for the central midfield, he still picked those players with players that he had more than capable on the bench. But yes, this was probably one of the worst performances I've seen. Like was mentioned before, you play against teams like Holland and Argentina, you're going up against stars. The only thing I could say is thankfully this was a Euro qualifier, and the whole world doesn't have to see the performance we put out. Especially with, yeah, so, you know, now going back to this 4-2-3-1 like it was today, you can clearly see how much FSS, the association, had to do with this, because, you know, he is going back to the formation that he's used to, the formation that will get him some results. Why do we need to try a new formation on a tough away game against, you know, current leaders? I have no clue. But yes, just a really, really disastrous game. That's all I have to say about that. I mean, I can go on and on. We want to get everybody a chance to speak here.
Thank God for the Nations League playoff that we're in, because it doesn't look good right now. Ukraine, you know, squeezed out a result against Luxembourg today. Maybe they'll drop some points somewhere. I doubt they're going to do it against Lithuania, and I'm sure, you know, there's a good chance they'll lose against Portugal. But, you know, we're going to have to make up a lot of points right now, and I just don't think we're going to be able to do it. So, thank God for the Nations League playoffs. Thank God for the new format, or we would have been without another Euro for sure. And now we at least have some kind of chance in that competition if things go as they're looking to go in the Euro qualifying. Luca, as you were sitting in Las Vegas being miserable, what were you thinking during the game, and what are your thoughts right now when you had a little bit of time to cool off?
Well, man, during the game I was completely flabbergasted. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, man. And I kind of got that feeling as soon as I saw the formation and I saw Ljajic in defensive midfield. We all knew it was going to be a tough game. We even talked about, should we go to two strikers against Ukraine on a podcast episode previously. And I think we were all unanimous in that that wasn't the game to try out a new tactic. That wasn't the game to switch formations. It was going to be a very tough game. We need to get a result in Ukraine. And obviously, what transpired wasn't that. We tried out a new formation, completely failed. I had to turn off the game. I couldn't even watch it anymore, man. That's how bad it was. I'm not as convinced that it wasn't Krstajic's idea to try that new formation. Look, bottom line, the man is incompetent. I think we all know that by now. The second thing, it's a very, very, how do I put this? It's a very, very embarrassing game for Serbia as an independent nation. And more importantly, it's a stain on our record, man. And you can see that the players have completely lost faith in Krstajic. It seems like they never had it, but that game proved it. Even today's game against Lithuania proved that they were just kind of going through the motions. It just happens that Lithuania was a horrible team, so we got a result. But they're not playing for him anymore. They're not playing for the FSS or whoever. We need a change, man. We need a change. This is beyond embarrassing with the talent that we have, with the attack that we have, in playing two strikers and we couldn't even get a damn shot on goal. I think I'll just end it there, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had that one chance with Prijovic when the defender made that block. But other than that, I mean, we can't really remember too many chances from that game that we created. We were just lost, right? We were just lost. Ukraine was running through us like we were nothing, right? So that was really disheartening, and it was 100% one of the worst, most confusing, most awful performances that I've ever seen in my time. And I've watched like some really bad games, like that 4-1 loss to Poland in a friendly, and a lot of other games were really, really bad. But this is up there. I mean, we didn't even show anything. We really showed nothing. I can't mention one good performance or one player that played really well. And I don't blame the players. I mean, no. Sure, they could have, you know, maybe done more. But you've got to put your players in a position that they could succeed in. And that just didn't happen. I mean, you saw all the wide open space. You saw guys lost. You saw people, I mean, so acres and acres and acres of open real estate. And that's just, something like that is on the coach, because you have to know how to set them up. You got to give them instructions, who's covering what, who's covering where. And that clearly didn't happen. And after a loss like this, in my opinion, you can't keep the status quo. I mean, he has to go. The FFS, the leadership, Kokeza, if he had any type of, you know, brain or anything, he would resign as well. But the sad thing is that the FFS, the Football Association is just a product of the country itself, right? Until the country itself changes, I think we'll always see these type of shady businessmen, you know, shady characters going into these roles, being head of the different FAs and associations in the country. So I think, unfortunately, until the country itself has changed, people like Kokeza will just keep taking over, because another one just like him will come. You know, we had Karadžić, and now we have him. It's the same type of people who are going to take over. And one day, maybe we'll have, you know, a real football person take over that role, like a Dejan Stanković or maybe even a Vidic, guys who, you know, care about the country, who are professionals, who would try their best, who would actually be useful in that role. But I just don't see that happening anytime in the near future. So unfortunately, even if he does leave, even if the FA, you know, folds up and new people come in, it's going to be the same thing, in my opinion. Somebody else that's not competent or not qualified is going to do the same job. They're going to do it the same way, because we've seen the same thing happen over and over again for nearly 20 years now, 18 years now, 19 years now. So it's a sad time, and I hope Krstajic, he's not going to resign, but I think there's a good chance he gets fired tomorrow. I hope he gets fired tomorrow. I hope they bring in somebody with experience, like maybe Tumbaković, who just left the Montenegro job. He would be a decent choice. Anybody at this point that knows how to set up a team will be better than him. Alexa, back to you. How do we get out of this hole? What do we do, man?
I don't know how, you know, safe this is to say, but pitchforks and torches and everybody in front of Taranzi, and we demand answers. There's no other way. And I'm sorry to say that, and maybe that's not what people want to hear. First off, I mean, that's the extreme option that I want. That's the extreme option we all want. But we need, as fans, to have a long, hard look in the mirror and ask, are we doing everything that we need to do? We can go back through our history, and we can name so many players that we've personally chased away because we didn't like what they did, from Neven Subotic to Ivan Ergic, Marko Arnautović, you know, the list goes on and on. We as fans don't have the guts and the chutzpah to try and make something happen. You know, we complain about that. These people, I'm not even going to call them people. In order for that, they have to have basic moral characteristics. That is a criminal group that is a disgrace of the highest order. The entire organization is an abomination. The person who is impersonating a manager on the touchline doesn't deserve to be gum at the bottom of my shoe. And maybe this is rage, maybe this is just me speaking because I'm frustrated, but we need to have a long, hard look in the mirror from this perspective. I saw tweets that are like, well, let's hope Lithuania wins, so we have resignations and we have changes. Do you really think, and I'm not talking to the people here because you guys are smart, and most of the people listening to this are smart, I'm talking to the brain-dead individuals who have the ignorance and the nerve to say that things are going to change. Do you really think that these people are going to leave? Do you think that they're gonna have any sort of moral characteristics or moral high ground? They are not going to leave unless we force them out. I don't have it in my heart to boycott or to wish that my team loses, but drastic changes need to be made, and we need to put pressure on websites and on newspapers who send journalists that kiss up, that don't ask questions. We had a press conference that lasted 5 minutes. We had three people sitting there. One person spoke for 5 minutes, and reporters couldn't ask questions. The whole point of a press conference is for you to ask questions, and you can't even ask questions. If I was a reporter, I would have walked out, and I would have never come back. Screw my career and screw everything. If I'm going to be insulted like that, then they don't deserve to have my time. And these people need to be chased out ASAP. And I said as fans that we need to go out and we need to have an understanding of our own personal need. We talked in previous shows about appreciating our players. But I want to point to the players as well, because they have a part in this as well. You know, the manager wasn't the one on the field in against Ukraine. As bad as the tactics were, as stupid as all the things have been for the last 18 months, they still had a job to do and they still had an obligation to do it. Now, their effort wasn't the problem, but their performance was the problem. And I point to them, and I leave with this. How can you support this? If Luka, I asked him now, by any chance this reaches Dusan Tripic or any of these guys that happen to be listening, what do you think is going to happen if you leave? Nothing is going to happen to you if you leave. If Luka Milivojevic could stand up and have the guts to say, no, what you're doing here is wrong, it's disrespectful, you're arrogant, you're conceitful, and you're spiteful, and I don't want to have anything to do with you now or ever again. If he can step up and leave, what's stopping Aleksandar Kolarov? What's stopping Dusan Tadic? What's stopping Aleksandar Mitrović? So yes, the players deserve blame. They don't deserve blame from the standpoint of trying or especially their talent, because this is the most talented team we've had since 98. I refuse to believe that this team isn't talented enough to do something big. I mean, Real Madrid just made $65 million for a 21-year-old kid we have. Ajax fans built a mural for our captain, or our part-time captain, if you will, a month when he was there. This isn't a talent thing. It's never been a talent thing. This is a moral thing from everybody, from the people in the FA to the fans that are coming on, to the managers, to the football people that are talking on television, to the newspaper writers, to the average Joe on the street. We need a collective hard look in the mirror. And I'm here to say to everybody that you guys and we don't have the guts and chutzpah to try and make something different. Because in other countries, if this happened, when England lost 4-1 to Germany, there were people camping outside of Fabio Capello's house for days. They wouldn't let him get out. Grant Paul had his 3 yellow cards for Australia. It was when he gave him, in 2006, the World Cup, it was a national embarrassment, and they camped out his house for weeks. And we just sit there and we have our normal day because we're too tired and we don't care enough. We're gutless. The players are gutless. But we, as a whole, as a nation, have lost identity. I mean, this is away from football. I'm sorry to get into the topic that's so long. But we need to have a long, hard look in the mirror, and we need to chase these people out as soon as possible. And nobody's going to come in, even if we sack the manager. No one serious is going to come in. I don't want Ljubiša Tambaković, not because I have anything against him as a person. I've never had a crossword with him. He's just not the guy that should be there. He's never done well in emergency situations. He came in with Partizan years ago, and things didn't work out, so I don't want him. And at this point, do you really want to entertain the likes of Danilo Latovic and Simo Krunic? You might as well just keep the current guy there. But we could do this for 3 hours, and we still wouldn't have enough. But I leave the floor to you guys.
Alex, I definitely agree with you, man, about your point on the players. I really think they have a central role here in fixing this and righting the ship. I don't believe that as fans, you know, I think there's a core group of fans like us who actually give a damn about how the national team performs. I think the vast majority of our fans are fair weather fans. I think they're there when the national team is doing good. When they're not, oh, it's just a business as usual, whatever. They don't give a damn. I don't think the fans can do anything in this situation. I think the players most definitely can. And just to finish up my point, man, I do agree with you that Tumbaković is definitely not the man for the job. I don't want to see him there, no more than I want to see Krstajic there. Quite honestly, we need somebody who's got a name, who's got pedigree. I wouldn't even mind like a Slaviša Jukanović if we can take him away from Middlesbrough in the top.
That's not happening in a million years. I'm sorry.
I know.
But there's still people. There's people in the other 20 ranks that you could take, and there's people that the thing that people talk about agents and managers and all these things about how they're picking the team. Yes, we don't have Milivojevic and Nastasic, but he still could have picked a team that was good enough.
He's been
forcing Sasha looking down our throats for the last year in League of Nations League games, and now when it was a perfect situation for him to play, when you guys can all agree with me that he's had a very good ending of the season with Torino, he's scored goals and he's played well, he doesn't put him in. Ljubomir Fejs is finally fit, and he looks like he wants to play. He doesn't put him in. Akolašević has been a revelation for Genoa, and at least he has the conditioning to play. He doesn't put him in. These, even with all the mistakes, this could have been avoided. And I'm just so lost as to what we can do now, because even if we qualify, what's the point? We qualify, and we go to the tournament, and what, we end up finishing in third or fourth, and we end up going in the tournament as a dark horse, and we end up getting knocked out.
Right.
Because that's what's going to happen. We're not getting out of the group with the way things are right now.
Yep.
We're not getting out of the group. You guys can forget about anything in the years. You guys can forget about your revenge for Switzerland. You guys can forget about being France and all this stuff. We're not getting out of it. And we need to just raise our knowledge more. We need to care more, and we should care more, and there's a way to care more. But it's about the core group of fans that we have, as I mentioned, the core group of fans that care. We need to get together and do something. I've been talking to people here. It's like, well, you know, maybe we should do something. Maybe we should boycott. Maybe we should, you know. No, we need to go there, and we need to – I'm not advocating violence, but I'm advocating pressure. I'm advocating a serious campaign to be run. And if it starts from this show, then so be it. But we need drastic changes. Everybody, anybody who's even doing a good job or a bad job, total changes are necessary, because this is just going to continue on and on and on, and we're going to keep getting embarrassed like this in situations where – you look at our history, like Australia – Switzerland, Ivory Coast, matches where we had opponents that were similar to our level. All of them we flopped, and all of them we've collapsed in heartbreaking fashion, and most of the time it's not down to the players, it's down to the factors away, and I'm just rambling right now. I mean, I'm just lost completely. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that the people – I'm going to end on this, and I'm going to stay quiet. It's unbelievable the arrogance and the nerve that these people have, the downright cheek to call a press conference. And I point this out, 5 minutes it lasted, and you couldn't ask questions. Are you serious? In any civilized nation, a fourth world nation, they would have had tomatoes thrown at them on the streets, and probably would have had something more. You can keep – this is a problem that's solvable without getting involved in the politics. I know that people want to bring that up as a part of this too. And, yes, it's the most important part, but we can solve this without politics. So anybody that's trying to go out there and compare this, no, we can solve this in a football way, in a fair way, but with pressure, with more shows like this, with more analysis, with more hard-hitting questions, with more involvement in the stadiums, more chance, more pressure, we can do something about this. It's in the fans' right, and it's most certainly in the players' right, and I beg them and plead them that if this somehow reaches them, please step away. You will have the public support. You will have your own personal safety. Nothing's going to happen to you. If anything, you're going to do better in your clubs because you don't have to deal with this. So just make the move and say, enough is enough. We don't want to play until everything changes. And when I say everything, I mean from the president down to the tea lady. Everybody must go. That is the crux of what I was saying for the last 15 minutes. I'm sorry for taking away so much time and annoying probably so many listeners. I will now keep quiet.
Honestly, I think when you say the fans should boycott, I think that the fans have been boycotting for a long time. You look at the attendance at the stadiums, right? There's just a general lack of interest. There's an indifference towards a national team that has been there for a while. Luka's definitely correct. Most people don't care anymore in Serbia, thanks to the FA and the wonderful job they've done growing and promoting the game in the country. And, you know, it's a sad thing, but the system is broken. The system is totally broken, not just football, but every system is totally broken. And hopefully stuff like that will start improving so that we can start having normal situations that can foster success, healthy success and healthy stability and growth. And right now, it's just not the case. And when it comes to a new manager, I think you need to hire someone who has the authority and self-respect to not listen to outside voices all the time, because the FA is always going to try to steer you in certain ways, and you have to have look at the guys who did a good job, right? Antic, Muslin, experienced managers who have been doing this job for a very long time, who did not listen to what the FA told them to do, and at the end of the day, that's what ended their time at the national team, right?
But they paid the price. It cost them their heads.
They paid the price.
And the fans, I want to say another thing. You can go back and read the comments when Antic got fired. There were people that were supporting it, saying, well, he got a 4-game suspension after the World Cup, and, you know, he thought he was too good, and he wasn't good enough. And the same thing with Muslims. Like, well, we're playing ugly. Oh, we should play better. We're not beating hard opposition. Yeah, because we've been so mighty the last 20 years. Yeah, we knocked out Wales, the semifinalists of the Euros. Ireland, the team that got out the group, and Austria, a team that's been at the Euros. We haven't been at the Euros since 2000. Sorry for the language. Who the hell can we underestimate? Who's easy opposition for us? What do you mean play pretty football? Because France and Greece and Italy played beautiful football and they were winning championships? It's baloney. We as fans have no idea what we're supposed to do. We watch Messi, we watch Ronaldo, we play Football Manager, myself included, and we think that we know everything. We don't know everything. Sometimes we need to just shut up and let the results speak for themselves and be united. We're not united. And it's costing us, and it's going to continue to cost us, and it's going to keep us ranting and raving, and we're going to be talking the same thing for the next 3 years, and it's just going to lead us nowhere.
Okay. Buena, let's see. Do you have a little bit more of a positive outlook, or how do we get out of this hole that we're in right now?
Well, I was going to go into the negative, but I mean, I think everything was answered. The positive outlook here is, like we were talking about, we need to get the fans back into this to support this team. We can look at, you know, from the Euro 2000, from then, the fans started losing faith in this team, and basically the Sergen FA just kind of gained control of the managers they're picking, even the players they're selected. I mean, we had in 2006 where Ilija Petković's son was selected for the team and then went home as the media got to him. This has become an expectation for this national team where the fans, the people, just don't care about it. They understand this team will never perform at the big stage. And again, because we're not spending the time and effort, the money, to attract a manager who has a pedigree, the last most expensive and knowledgeable and who's won titles, which was Antic, we shamed him by, you know, firing him for something that, you know, he did a great job getting us to qualify and to the World Cup. And even then, against Australia, a lot of that, you know, we outplayed them that game. We're just unlucky.
And we beat Germany, man, don't forget.
And we beat Germany.
Yeah. You
know? And we had a penalty that wasn't given to us, which was a blatant penalty. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So, you know, this was a manager who promoted, great, great players. Like, he's the one who found Jovanovic and Krasic and got them into the national team.
He got Nevin Subotic mid-long term as well.
He got Subotic and Kuzmanovic, who had Swiss roots, and got them to play for Serbia. Because this was a manager who had pull. This was a manager who coached Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid. He's won titles. Players will gravitate to a manager like that. They will listen to the formation and the systems that this manager will have. When we're bringing in managers who aren't capable, who don't have the name recognition, who've never achieved anything, you look at, you know, even Muslim, who did a fantastic job with us. He was a journeyman. He was 20 years coaching, never won a title, just kind of being bounced around. Then you look at the times when we promote our under-21 coaches, like Djukic, like when we had Djurcic. And these guys, they cannot, they're just puppets for our FA from the player selection. When you're looking at Superliga players who, to be honest, no business to be on the national team. There's reasons why they're selected. And then, you know, later on, you're seeing these players being sold for millions. We need to eventually get ourselves a great manager, and we need to be able to pay for one, and it doesn't have to be. We've only had one, you know, two failed experiments, I guess. And I wouldn't even call Javier Clemente failed, because he did his best to try to manage a team that was just performing poorly and poorly tournaments prior, wasn't able to qualify. And then we had Advocate, who was a complete disaster. But we need to go out there, find a fantastic manager, find somebody who's won championships, who can put a team together, who's not going to listen to the FA, and just do it. We're going to get probably most likely a caretaker manager now. He's just going to go through the motions. This team is not going to qualify for the Euro through this group stage. If they're going to qualify, it's like we said, they got that playoff qualifier. I can see them finishing, obviously, third in this group, and with not even probably getting results on their returns with Portugal and Ukraine. Until they can find someone who's going to come in and change the system and select the players that need to be selected, play them in the correct positions with the correct formation, this team will continue to be this way. So that's my take in terms of what they can do. I think the players are fantastic. I think they have fantastic players. This is probably one of the better sides since 1998. But these players cannot perform for a manager who's a puppet to the FA, who's going to play them out of formation, play them out of positions, constantly change this lineup, game in and game out. They need to get something more consistent, and they need to get a manager who's going to make those changes.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a new scandal, a new issue every month. So, you know, what effect does that have on the locker room and the players' morale and their confidence and their psyche? It's very easy to see that this toxic situation is not beneficial to the growth of our team, the growth of anything, right? So it's really sad what's going on right now. And you're right, we definitely need a manager with some pedigree, some guts, somebody who's going to stick up for themselves, because in this role, you're basically getting fed to the wolves. You're going to have people coming at you from all different directions, trying to get a piece, trying to get that dollar. Super League of clubs that make a lot of money off guys being in the national team, guys going to tournaments, guys getting those caps. And at the end of the day, that's always going to be a big business there because the clubs are poor. They don't have a lot of money, so the best way to get money is to do dealings like this and try to get that quick buck, unfortunately. Luca, on to you. How do we get out of this hole, man?
Hey, man. I'm going to agree with a lot of, obviously, what Alexa said and what Boyan said. I do think it comes down to the players. I think the players need to take a stand, similar to what happened with the Bosnian FA and their players. You're putting all the pressure on the fans who don't give a damn about the team anyway. I think it's asking a lot of them because they're not invested. The players actually are. I think that's a good first step. I think they're the ones who can do the most damage in a positive way. You know, and it's just so disheartening, man, because it seems like that our FA thinks that our talent grows on trees. And that's definitely not the case. You know, we have I don't want to call it a golden generation, but we have a very, very talented squad that could definitely do some damage under the right manager, under the right system. But yeah, once again, we're throwing it away because of shady politics, because of crappy formations, because of crappy managers. I can't support this team anymore. The way that this is going, because we're just repeating a cycle over and over again, man. This is just getting to be very tiresome. For example, 10 years ago, me watching a national team game, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. There was a burning desire. Your heart's beating. You're sweating. You know, are we going to win? Are we going to score a goal? How are we playing? Then fast forward to now, you're like, oh, the national team game's on. I guess I'll watch it, right? The same desire isn't there because you've been trampled on by the results, by the management, by the FA. Throughout those years, it just takes it out of you, man. It's very hard to be positive in a situation that just keeps throwing you trash, and that's exactly what's happening here. It's okay, we get something rolling, and then it's back down. It's just a roller coaster ride, man. And now we're at the bottom again after this very, very horrible and embarrassing result. Not just embarrassing for our soccer, but for our nation as well, man. I'll just end it there, man. I'm just severely disappointed. Something's got to change, man. Bottom line, something's got to change.
Every time we think that it can't get any worse, it gets
exactly
worse than we possibly imagined.
New name of the show. That's the new name of the show. When you think it's going bad, think again.
Yeah, and I mean, look at Ukraine, right? I mean, they luckily beat Luxembourg last time 2-1 in the last minute of the game because a Luxembourg player made an error. And then today,
he scored the most spectacular own goal in recent history. Yeah, he hit a bicycle kick in his box, for crying out loud, and scored in his own net.
Exactly. And then today, they had 5 shots on net against Luxembourg in Lviv, the same place where we played on Friday and got slaughtered. I mean, this is not a great team. This is just an average, solid, organized, quality European mid-tier team, just like us. And we got played off the park and dominated for what reason? Like, it's so crazy to even think. I mean, how is this even happening, right? It just makes no sense, no logic. Basically, the national team has wasted a year and a half under a manager that's not a manager. Guy has no experience, no clue. He has basically shows zero professionalism. As you mentioned, Alex, at the interviews, you're not the reporters come in, they don't ask any real questions because they're not allowed to ask real questions.
They didn't ask any questions. It wasn't real questions or fake questions. They couldn't pick the mic up to even talk to the man. How is that even legal? Seriously, how is that legal? Like, my God.
It's crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Krstajic on Pink tonight with an hour-long interview, like Witch does, to a little puff piece, right? You know, ask him all the good questions.
Okay, now that you mentioned that, I didn't want to mention that man's name, but now that you mentioned it, we can go into another part of that. But if you don't mind, can I just say, like, just a few things just to point out very, very quickly. First off, Muslin is an excellent manager. He discovered Zidane in Bordeaux. He had two doubles with Zvezda. He got Krasnodar into the Europa League. He was in Liège. He was in Anderlecht. He was a national team center back when he was a player. He deserves more respect. He did an amazing job with us. If you analyze what Krstajic has done, I wanted him to succeed. People are going to twist this and say, you want the team to fail. No, I would be the happiest man alive if they prove me wrong. If we went, and I just want us to be a surprise package. Nobody here thinks we can win a major tournament. Nobody's crazy enough to think that we're going to win the European Championship. We just want quarterfinals, or let's get out of the group, or let's beat a big opponent, something, anything. We're not asking you to pull off America. We're just asking you to be adequate, and you come here and you tell us he's doing a fantastic job. I'm looking at you, Dr. Kovacevic. You sell out. You're saying he's doing a fantastic job. What fantastic job? We look at the Nations League group. We play against Lithuania, who's an injury away from being a Sunday League team. We played against Montenegro, who basically without half of their squad with no Jovetic and no Stefan Savic. We played against Romania twice with no Costel Pantelimon, no Vlachic, no Stefan Radu, no Maxim, no Chipciu, no Andone. We couldn't beat them in Bucharest, and they were draws. And by the way, when we had that extra man, he decides, I have Prijovic, who has been killing it in PAOK, and I have Jovic, who is in demand by every club in Germany at the moment, and will be in demand by every club in Europe. Oh, but I know, I'm going to bring on Nemanja Miletic, who I have nothing against. I love him like a brother. I'm going to bring on an average reserve center back to make his debut. Where am I going to play him? I'm going to play him as a right back, and I'm going to shift my aging 577-year-old right back who can't cross into the water at left back to play emergency left back. Why don't I have a backup left back? Because I got into a fight with Ivan Obradovic because I didn't want to talk to him when he didn't get called up to the World Cup. Against Portugal and Germany, we had Mitrovic make 20 saves and look like prime Milovan Jakšić or prime Lev Yashin, and we saw what happened against Ukraine. So we've made no improvements. We've stagnated on the pitch. I'm trying to keep this just in a football sense. We haven't confirmed any youth players apart from Maximovic, who was going to develop on his own. Jovic has been just completely sabotaged and hasn't even really been given a chance. Radonjić has been forced for God knows what reason. Vankovic has been forced in as an alibi. Grujic couldn't get a game when he was in Cardiff, and now when he's playing like Stefan Effenberg, he can't get a single minute for the youth team or the senior team. Rajkovic has made at least two or three mistakes that are just cringeworthy. Gajic isn't playing. Half the kids, Andrej Živković is just completely eroded, and I've just had enough with him. Milinkovic-Savic is public enemy number one. He has done nothing positive. The manager and this FA have done nothing positive since October 2017. Nothing. They had one lucky free kick against Costa Rica and one good performance there. And since then, and before then, it has been an unmitigated disaster that would take another 4 hours to list. It's an embarrassment, and these people should be faced away with pitchforks and torches.
It's wild, right? I mean, things that happened, decisions that are made are just defying every logic. Like, the last two games against Portugal and Germany, we had Lazovic make his return to the national team, have two really good performances. So you think, oh, he's going to play again. Nope, not a single minute.
Not
like,
to be seen.
What happened?
Right.
Why isn't he playing? So, like, every time.
This is all stemmed from the start of the World Cup. When we fired the coach who got us there, which we haven't gotten to how many years we didn't get to any tournaments. Then on top of it, we bring in the assistant coach with no experience to select the squad and to de-name Ivanovic from captain, to move it on right before your tournament. You're going to switch captaincies. To then not even having the correct tactical decisions during the World Cup. I mean, like, everybody remembers in Euro 2000, I remember clearly watching that game against Slovenia, and when Stankovic didn't want to run, within the first 30 minutes, he was substituted off, and then we put on an aging Stojkovic to show, I don't care who you are, I don't care if you play for Lazio and you're a fantastic player, you don't want to run, you don't want to play, we're going to put this aging guy who comes all the way from Japan here. And we didn't do that for SMS when SMS was playing very poorly in Switzerland, you know, like in that game. We should have just changed him right away. We could have changed the tactics. We changed the tactics incorrectly. And this, all these decisions of the FA or anything that's been happening is all from, we know it's been dating back for a while, but during this Krstajic tenure, this is when you're seeing the most of it. And that this is the number one move we need to do. This person needs to be fired tomorrow, and someone else needs to go in there. But
yeah, and I mean, you mentioned it, right? It's just the same cycle. And yeah, back then we had a great manager in year 2000, despite how the tournament ended, you know, that horrible loss. You can't remember how we got there, right? It was a great qualifying campaign. And
Vojislav Boska was manager, and he was amazing, and you forget that Slovenia game. He brought on Sava Milosevic, who scored two goals and could have scored another. He brought on Ljubinko Drulovic, who scored one and assisted another. We beat Ireland. We beat Croatia. Vojislav Boska was a genius.
The thing is, if you don't see any progress, any positive things happening, this guy has had 16, 17 matches to get something going, and he's failed every single match. Well, I mean, we talked about it in a previous podcast, how many 90-minute good performances we've had. And we said we played a good half here, a good half there. But yeah, that's crazy, right? Look at all those games we had recently. And if it wasn't for Mitrovic being in the form of his life, how many more of those games would we have lost or thrown away?
Even today, man, we watched the Lithuania game, I'm sure all of us did, and you saw the first half, okay, great half, you know, we're up 3-0. Second half, absolutely abysmal. You know, it was like we couldn't string two passes together again. I mean, and that's against Lithuania, man. Like, we did it against Portugal, we were lucky to get away with the draw. We did it against Germany in the friendly, we were lucky there as well. You do that against other teams, your luck is going to eventually run out. I mean, if Lithuania today got another goal and it was 3-2 after their penalty, it was game on, you know, and we easily could have dropped points there because of our lackluster second half. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that we can't string together 90 minutes of competent football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, they had us on our heels, man. They had us on our heels in the second half.
Right.
Late in that 60-70 minute mark, right? You got to think, like, what was the halftime talk? Like, what did he tell them? Hey, guys, good job. Stop attacking.
Yeah,
stop
exactly.
Trying to pass the ball.
Stop playing. It wasn't attacking. Stop playing. Just sit still and let's wait for the World Cup when the real Serbia Lithuania match is on. You know? Let's do anything.
It's unreal. And you know what? Tomorrow, FSS said that they're going to make an announcement or a decision on Krstajic and talk about his future. So I honestly do expect him to get sacked. If he doesn't get sacked, I mean, they're just crazy, right? I mean, if he doesn't get sacked after that performance,
I applaud them. I applaud them because they realized how stupid we are for putting up with this and how you know, we've allowed them to be like this. And people are saying that something's going to happen tomorrow. They used the death of Goran Bunjevcevic to escape the fact of giving any sort of a long, in-depth report for what happened during the World Cup. Sava Milosevic came out and said, well, now's not the time, and no report came up. If you remember, the president of the FA, said on December 5th, after the Lithuania game of the League of Nations at home, that in 2 weeks that there was going to be some sort of decision on the manager and some sort of conference, and nothing ever came of it. So They're saying it's going to happen tomorrow. They might just show up and say, ha-ha, look how stupid you are. You showed up in 40-degree, you know, 95 Fahrenheit heat to come here and listen to me talk. Nothing's happening. He's staying. We're giving him a 5-year contract. Goodbye. That's probably what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not holding my breath for anything.
And they're gonna come out there. They're going to to read a prepared statement, there are going to be no questions asked, and they're going to leave, and they're going to post a video a couple hours later on their YouTube channel.
Pretending everything is fine. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's wonderful.
This is crazy, right? Nobody asks questions. No questions. I don't know why the reporters even come to these press conferences. They just sit there. They get read
because
a statement.
Because they handpick the reporters. They handpick the reporters that are willing to listen and be there like little tiny puppies. The real reporters, guys like Vladan Novakovic and Dragan Cic and Nestor Petrovic, they aren't allowed to go. They aren't allowed to ask questions. Guys like Atsa Stojanovic and guys from Informer and Multisport and places like that that are clickbait or they're, you know, in bed with the FSS, they're going to sit there and they're going to ask questions because they are the ones that create the public image. Real reporters aren't allowed to talk. We guys are real reporters because we're on censor. We can say what we want. You know, the real reporters are on YouTube. We're not going to hear any of them at any press conference. You know, nobody had the guts to say. You know, we had a guy from Mundo who came out and asked the question about Milivojevic, why he wasn't there, and he hasn't shown up since. So anybody who speaks up is just immediately turned away. And
you're blacklisted. You can't ask those questions. They don't want to, same if you they can't ask the question about Grujic, why he's not on the team, or why this and why that, right? Nobody asks those questions. Even when you ask the questions, they don't get a clear answer. It's some kind of Mickey Mouse answer, roundabout answer, right? It's just ridiculous. The lack of information, the lack of clarity, the lack of honesty, and just good nature. It's just really disappointing, and it's disappointing. We always have to keep talking about this and dealing with it. As we mentioned earlier, you know, when we think things can't get worse, they get way worse. And, you know, it could get a lot worse from here, too. Like, who knows what's going to happen, right?
Well, that's the way it's looking, man.
We're going to lose Luxembourg at this rate. We're going to lose Luxembourg, a country that has, I don't know how many hundred thousand, a couple hundred thousand people, maybe the population of Kladivo or something like that, is going to beat us in Belgrade. And then even then, that won't be a wake-up call. That won't be a wake-up call to change the system, to change the way things are going. People will just, you know, not care about it. And our football will continue to deteriorate. We'll continue to play tennis and basketball and water polo and volleyball, athletics. They'll take up a new sport. They'll take up e-gaming.
We'll play baseball, lacrosse.
Kids will play whatever sport they can. Even hockey if we had a rink. We'll play hockey. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're killing the football in the country. They're killing the growth of the game. They're absolutely destroying the passion that people have for the sport. I mean, great, Red Star, Zvezda, and Partizan. I mean, sure, people always love those clubs, but at the end of the day, we see what happens to those clubs as well. In league games, there's like a couple thousand people if they're lucky at a game, and then in Europe, they show up for the big teams because they're all, you know, fair weather supporters, or they want to be seen on TV in the important events. They want to Instagram the important events. Nobody actually cares anymore. There's a small...
You know what's even worse, and you know what's even sadder? Most people that I've talked to want to go to games, but they can't because they're afraid of hooligans bashing their head, and because hooligans might think that they're part of another fan group, even though they're not. It's a hooligan problem as much as it is a good nature problem. Like,
especially Partizan.
Yeah, especially. I mean, the atmosphere is not exactly great. It hasn't been great at Newcastle for God knows how long. There's another black and white club. I mean, the atmosphere there has been toxic towards Mike Ashley. But fans still show up. They support the club, at least, because they just don't buy things from the Sports Direct shop. But they still show up and support the team because they know that they're not going to get their head bashed in and they're going to be fine. And it's a family event. There's a cult. And you go back to the way it used to be and with Antic, and I don't want to make him sound like the Messiah, but I remember after a game against France when he went out and said, I want to thank the fans for coming out and for giving us good support and for behaving the way you should. Like, that's just good nature. That's just like a good man, just respecting and just giving props and creating affirmative image.
That team brought the fans back to the stadium. And, you know, there's been a group of people who are hardcore football fans in Serbia that love the clubs and the national team. And every year, that group of fans is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's all because of the FA and the situation around the country, the toxic atmosphere and the toxic environment that's just killing the joy, the passion that people have. I mean, Red Star has made a resurgence now under new leadership in the last couple of years. But even that, you know, what's to say? One thing can go wrong and then everything's going to crumble again. We're always walking this tightrope on everything, right? As things are going good and we never know how long they're going to go good for, because easily, you know, it wouldn't surprise me in the next couple of weeks some kind of crazy scandal happens in one of the clubs and it's a downward spiral again and Red Star shit again in a couple of years, right?
So they sack Milivojevic and they, you know, I mean, Red Star haven't shit anything. They just got Milivojevic in, but the people in the club are still the same people that got them to 50 million dead and the hooligans are still there and they've just got Milivojevic in, and that's why it's working so well, because he's a genius. The minute they get rid of him, things are going to go back to signing guys from Ghana and Africa and Brazil and all these places. And same thing with Partizan, although Partizan's way worse right now, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens, right? And you know what? Hopefully we get some good news tomorrow. Hopefully everybody resigns and we get a new manager, we get Antic back or something like that. You know, we're all in our breath for some positive news after a really depressing couple of days, even though we didn't have a 4-1 victory today over Lithuania. But, you know, that's just salad dressing. Doesn't really mean anything. The main course is disgusting, as usual. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We'll talk a lot
Big
more next week.
Everyone. everyone who spoke today. Big applause to you guys.
We'll talk a lot more next week, and hopefully we have a happier, more joyous, and more positive conversation. But, you know, circumstances deny us from doing that. So maybe in the future things will change. But as of right now, it's going to be a lot of angry talk and a lot of rants. Have a good night.
Van der Beek and Tadic! Ajax have their boots on the throats of the champions. Milinkovic-Savic with a belter. Oh, what a phenomenal strike.
Little push and run from Kolarov, who had a goal and hit the inside at the top of the net and dragged Roma right back into it.